Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. from New York, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 20. The second paragraph is the purpose of this book to answer through one paragraph ending, summarize some points as we see them. Today's readers, for the 12 steps, we have Kelly S., 12 Traditions, Maura Z., reader of the text, Tricia D., page 164 is Lynn F., our backup is Marge O., announcements is Kathy S., Devorah S. is our newcomer greeter, and our second hour host is Ken W. H. The share ID for yesterday, Tuesday, February 17th, for the 7 a.m. meeting, 23,216, that is 2316, and for the 10 a.m. meeting, 23,217, that is 23217. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kelly S. to please read the 12 steps. Come on in, Kelly.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service. Hey, guys, good morning. 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you, Kelly. I'm now going to ask Maura Z to please come in and read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Maura.
Thank you, Kathy, for your service. This is Maura Z, gratefully recovered in Virginia. The 12 traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Maura. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I'll be able to time you. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We are in, there is a solution, and we are on page 20, the second paragraph that starts, it is the purpose. I'm now going to ask Tricia D. to begin reading.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Tricia D. from Georgia. Thanks for letting me do service this morning. Page 20, the second paragraph. It is the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. We shall tell you what we have done. Before going into a detailed discussion, it may be well to summarize some points as we see them. As I read this very short, powerful paragraph, you know, the purpose of this book is to answer such questions specifically. And I see, of course, the line before it, what do I have to do? What? And that is the question I know I certainly asked and millions of others have asked. What do I have to do to get recovery? Oh, my gosh, what a powerful line. You know, the page before it talked about on page 19, it said the elimination of our eating or drinking, as the book said, but the elimination for us of our eating, I'm a compulsive overeater in Georgia, by the way, is but a beginning. And that's a very strong beginning. I know it takes courage even to come and get on this phone line. Those who are newcomers or those who are struggling with, you know, just putting that food down, you've made a huge, big step and big beginning just picking up the phone and getting on a vision for you. And this is a big book study. This book is so, so powerful. And it is the solution. It gives me hope. And it's also, you notice, it says, we shall tell you what we have done. It's a we program. We need each other. And when I get on the line, when I remember when I first got on the line back in 2020, I'd been in recovery 10 years before that. But I wasn't really, my heart wasn't in it. But when I heard this, the passion and the seriousness and just the thirst for recovery like I had never heard before, I knew I was home. And that was, I felt so hopeful. You know, it says, what do I have to do? That word do is a big thing, because this is an action program. We have to be willing to do the work. But yet I also know there's a lot of things I can do. But yet I have to, it has to be powered by a power greater than myself. And that power that I call God. And that is something that I have to keep reminding myself, that I am powerless, but there is a hope. And as this chapter says, there is a solution. And just to know that there's, you know, that that there are people who have gone before me, and I am willing to just listen to their wisdom and hear what they have to tell me, and follow the instructions and take responsibility. So this is, you know, it's the purpose of this book. This book, I will tell you, it's a game changer. And it was for me in my life, when I've never found another book in my life that's made a stronger impact on me as far as giving me recovery and solution, and giving me detailed steps 1, 2, and 3. You know, I can't, God can, I'm going to let him. But yet it's got to begin, be fueled by that power greater than ourselves. And I love it. We get a sponsor, we get a good food plan, and then together you work together, and, you know, she shares or he shares his experience, strength, and hope. And thank you, Kathy. But I just encourage everyone on the line, stay with it, keep coming back. This program is powerful and it works. And thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Tricia. That's Tricia D. Thank you for getting us started. I'm now ready to take a list of names. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every Thursday in order that others might share their experience too. Please press *1 to unmute yourself. And please, I'm ready to take some names.
Harlan G.
Thank you, Harlan.
Thanks, Kathy.
Please press *1 to unmute your phone, and then let me know if you're available to share this morning.
Vasa O.
Thank you, Vasa.
Roy C.
Good morning, Roy. Thank you.
Jennifer C.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Lucy A.
Thank you, Lucy. Okay, let's start with that first lineup. We have Harlan, Vasa, Roy, Jennifer, and Lucy. Again, thank you for helping me this morning, Harlan, and come on in, please.
Kathy, thank you. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Thanks. Let's take a look at the three times that the book tells you why it is here. It is the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. What questions? What do I have to do? Let's take a look at the foreword to the first edition. Excuse me, on page XIII, it says in that first paragraph, I believe it's the second sentence, to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. Is that consistent? You bet it is. On page 45 of the book, it says, the main object of this book is to help you find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Is that consistent? You bet it is. Because if you do the work that's described here, you're going to have, just as I have, a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. And that is the purpose of it. Now let's take a look at that second sentence, and let's look at the brilliance. We shall tell you what we have done. Bill, God, and Dr. Howard, who had some influence on this, knew that the alcoholic mind was perfectionistic, rebellious, sensitive, They knew what the alcoholic was: perfectionistic, sensitive, rebellious, doesn't like to be told what to do. And so it says here, we shall tell you what we have done. Notice it doesn't say we shall tell you what you have to do. Because if the sentence was, we shall tell you what you need to do, 90% of us would have run out the door as soon as we came in, because we don't like being told what to do. But if you can model what you have done and we want what you have, now I'm going to stick around. So the brilliance of these sentences is unbelievable. We shall tell you what we have done. Before going into a detailed discussion, it may be well to summarize some points as we have seen them. And what the points that we're going to be talking about tomorrow is the points of ignorance of a world that does not understand us, that cannot understand us. Bill Wilson, near the end of his life, said, to those who understand, no explanation is necessary. To those who do not understand, no explanation is plausible. I cannot make a person who is not a compulsive overeater understand this any more than I could get a goldfish to play the saxophone. It just cannot be done. All right, Kathy, I'm going to pass with that. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you to everybody who makes this meeting possible. With that, I will pass.
Thank you. That's Harlan G. from Arizona. And before Vasa comes in, I just want to remind anyone that we're on page 20 and there is a solution. We're on the second paragraph that starts, it is the purpose of this book, and we read to the end of that paragraph, summarize some points as we see them. Vasa, could you let us know where you're calling in from and come in and share with us, please?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And thank you, Kathy, for your service. And Harlan said it all, explained it better than I could ever put the words like he did. So grateful to have him on the meetings, and all of you and all of us. And this is where I was, you know, when I came to my first meeting of the Overeaters Anonymous. What do I have to do? I was sick and tired of trying to do, you know, the food down for many, many, many years, and I couldn't do it. And I was ready and willing to surrender to the program. I didn't want to die. I had my mom suffered, a lot of people around me that suffered with food addiction, alcoholism, drugs, and all kinds of stuff, you know. And that was my purpose. I just didn't want to die. I was too young. I was only 41 years old when I came to this program. I had children, and my youngest child was like 3 years old, and I said, if I continue, and I was beginning to develop physical problems, diabetes on the borderline, high blood pressure, and it is progressive disease, and it is by the grace of God. I didn't get to yet to the point I needed surgeries or I had chronic problems. But anyways, I was just so ready and willing, and I was so excited to hear what other people that had gone before me, what they did, and what I could do if they did what they did, and I could recover. And I was so relieved. Last thing, I'm going to try with everything I tried in the past. It just did not work. And if this doesn't work, and I'm just miserable, fat and miserable. It's, you know, it was awful painful to go through those feelings and emotions and hated my body. And I was ready. And my sponsor said to me, the only way we can do this if we surrender, if we find a power greater than ourselves and surrender to the program. I didn't know anything about the program yet. It was the first night I went to the meeting. I was ready and willing to go in my bathroom and surrender. I said, God, I offer myself. I put the food in your hands. Please help me. I put myself into your hands, my husband, everything. I just cannot go on living like this. And yes, I took the action, and I still do. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the people that went before me. And I still do it. I love listening to the vision for you. I came to this meeting when they opened, and there were like only 100 people, 150. And I'm still here, and I did start with the big book, but we had only one meeting a week. And I said, what a blessing. I go to us to this meeting, Vision for You.
Time, Vasa.
Thank you. Every single day. What a blessing. It gave me life I never imagined I would have. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you. That was Vasa O from Florida. Next up, we have Roy C, followed by Jennifer C. Roy, come on in and let us know where you're calling in from, please.
Good morning. This is Roy C, and I'm calling from southern New Jersey on a balmy, I guess, 30 degrees or so this morning. But I'm so glad that the meeting is here because it is part of what you have to do, what I have to do. I came to Overeaters Anonymous late in life and found my way through AA and into the big book. And the first thing I had to do was to listen and read and find the ways that other people have done it so that I could find my own way. And that's not an easy journey. You know, I've been in the program for several years, and I haven't done everything that I needed to do to get completely abstinent and to be on my way. But I've had successes in it, and it's grown. I didn't do things right from the very beginning, and I still don't do things right every day. But what I read in the big book is that it's progress, not perfection. And I'll continue to do that. I got up late this morning. I just barely got on this meeting as we were going through the steps. But I found that I was here. That's part of my program, attending meetings, the 9 tools of recovery. I got up at 1:30 this morning and I put together my meal and activity plan for the day. That's part of the program. I'm gonna reach out through the phone and other medium and do that. And I didn't always do that. And I heard Harlan this morning. Listening to him is part of the program because he tells so well about our history and reminds me about what has been done in the past. So I get an idea of what I need to do. So I'm going to keep coming back here. This is a wonderful meeting. And I didn't come to this meeting immediately. It took me a while to get here. And it was through another overeater that I listened to that's another thing that I can do to get on the path. So what I have to do is getting better each day. Again, progress, not perfection. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Roy C. from New Jersey. And before Jennifer C. comes up, after that is Lucy. We have openings for the next lineup. Just want to remind everyone that we are in the big book. There is a solution. Page 20, the second paragraph that starts, it is the purpose of this book, to the end, to summarize some points as we see them. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share. So if you shared on Monday and Tuesday of this week on either meeting, we ask you to wait. So Jennifer C., come on in and let us know where you're calling in from, please.
Hi, good morning. Jennifer C., recovered in South Carolina. Thank you, Patricia, for that lead share. That was beautiful. So what do I have to do? First, it tells me my problem. And it tells me that I have a hopeless condition. It tells me that my mind is going to keep playing tricks on me. It's going to keep minimizing. It's going to keep rationalizing. It's going to keep getting me into a spot where I just cannot remember what this disease does to me and how it almost took my life not that long ago. And it's going to keep tricking me into thinking that it's not that big of a deal to not be abstinent. And, you know, it teaches me that this physical allergy, this phenomenon of craving, is something that I absolutely cannot control, that I absolutely cannot control once it gets set in motion. And so the first thing it teaches me is that I have to get sober. Like, I can't be in my addiction and be getting delivered from it at the same time. And so it's a little bit trickier for us. We have to define what that looks like. And, you know, for the longest time, I struggled with the behaviors more than the actual foods. Like, I got the food part. Like, I understood that sugar was addictive. You don't have to go very far to believe that, right? But, like, all the other stuff, the behaviors, like, I don't understand how that triggers the phenomenon of craving. And I played that game for a while. Like, explain to me how the behaviors trigger the phenomenon of craving. I don't understand that, right? But they did, because what they did was they started the mental obsession. Am I abstinent? Am I not abstinent? Am I abstinent? Am I not abstinent? Right? That mental obsession would take over. And so that all had to be dealt with first. That's what the doctor's opinion is teaching us. And that's what we have to do. We have to define that for ourselves. So at least we know what entire abstinence looks like, what it means for this disease to be arrested in my life. And then it tells me that I need an entire psychic change, so that the very same person who seems doomed, who keeps going back to the food over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, suddenly becomes a person who is easily able to control the desire. The desire comes, and it goes, and I recoil, and I turn my attention. And it tells me that I have to constantly live in the solution. It tells me that I have to continue to ask God to remove my defects of character. It tells me that I have to constantly look at myself and take responsibility for myself. It tells me that I have to constantly pray and ask to know God's will and then the power to carry it out, right? There's that word power. Now I have power. Now I'm getting power. Step one, powerless. Like, you're going down. There's only one way to get out of this, and it's the miracle working God. Only God can save you now. That's what this book is teaching us. Only God can save you now. So thank you, God, for this book. Thank you all for being here and teaching me this book and teaching me how to live one day at a time. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. from South Carolina. Next up, we have Lucy A., and after Lucy, I'm ready for the next lineup. Lucy, come on in and share with us and tell us where you're calling in from, please.
Good morning. Lucy A., compulsive overeater in New York. So thankful to be here. Thank you for having me. This paragraph reminds me that the purpose of AA in the big book is practical. It answers the questions specifically that I needed to hear answers to. And the word specifically is what stands out to me in the paragraph. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I didn't just need encouragement. I didn't need someone to tell me what to do. I needed those directions, and I needed the experience. Like, we shall tell you what we have done. That felt humble to me. It didn't feel like someone giving me advice and pointing a finger and saying, this is what you need to do. No, it was, this is my experience, and this is what worked for me. And that tells me that recovery is not about debating. It's about taking actions, especially actions that already worked for other people. In the past, I know that for me at least, I tried willpower, food plan, diet, contests. I even won, you know, weight loss contests at work, and it was percentage of body weight and all of that stuff, and self-criticism, promises to myself, all of those things, none of that worked. You know, no matter what I did, like, Lucy, you can't do this again, start again on Monday. But this paragraph reassures me that I don't have to invent a new solution. There is a path. People have been there. We're standing on the shoulders of giants, and those giants are just humble people who have gone before us. The trainings that we listen to, the testimonies that we listen to, the sponsors that we have, It also reduces, I love the fact that, OA reduces isolation. We're not meant to do things alone in life. God did not create us to be in isolation. We're meant to be with one another. So the writers had the same questions and desperation that I had, and as we see them, those words remind me that this is a spiritual program. It's rooted in their experiences, not in them controlling me. So I don't have to fully understand everything before I get started. And for me, that was a breakthrough because I have that analysis mindset, analysis paralysis. I have to know everything before I start anything. But I was just willing to follow because this amazing sponsor that I had was able to just tell me what her experience was. So today I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm standing here in Grand Central Terminal where I have memories, you know, this is where I work, but I have memories of like sneaking food and going back to the bagel shop and doing things. But now I'm grateful. I don't have that. That doesn't call to me. So I'm thankful for the Big Book, thankful for OA and this precious Vision for You fellowship that we have. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lucy. That was Lucy A. from New York. And I'm ready for another lineup. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. We are in the Big Book, and there is a solution. We are on page 20, the second paragraph. We're just reading that paragraph. It is the purpose of this book to answer such questions, to summarize some points as we see them. If you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute your phone, and I'm ready to take some names.
Danielle O., New York.
Thank you, Danielle.
Dawn S. in Delaware.
Thank you, Dawn.
Kathy S.
Thank you, Kathy. Would anyone else like to join this lineup? Okay, we'll go with this lineup. We have Danielle, Dawn, and Kathy S. Danielle, please come in. Let us know where you're calling from, and please share with us.
Well, good morning, everyone. Danielle O. from Plattsburgh, New York. Grateful to be here this morning and to hear some inspiration. I have been going through the steps. I've been working with a sponsor, and one of the things that it's reminding me of by some of the people who are sharing is some of the things that I used to tell myself when I was working in this or trying to get abstinent or not staying absent, whatever it was that led me to go back out, were thoughts that, you know, well, I'll see how it goes this time. It was almost like I always gave myself this little window, crack of a opening for me to get back out there and go ahead and just try it one more time. Whatever it was that there was a part of my thinking, maybe I hadn't truly surrendered or submitted myself totally. I'm not sure which it was, but I know that it was in the way I responded to the world. And when I started working through the steps and in particular getting through the sixth and seventh right now, I'm starting to see where those patterns really were and needed to be exposed so that I didn't fall into the same thinking over and over and over, because that was what always led me back out. So I know that today I'm abstinent. I'm grateful that I've been able to get a few days under my belt. And I'm grateful that I don't have to repeat those things in my head, because I don't want to go back out. I don't want to be in those positions again. I only want what's ahead. You know, if I keep looking behind and saying, oh, you know, I think I have one more in me or whatever, it's somewhere in my thinking I think that was happening. This time, everything is, every leaf, every rock, everything has been turned over to look at truly what it is that kept me doing that. So this morning, I am grateful that I got to get up here and share, because if I don't share those kind of things, they're just going to sit around in the back of my mind, ready to just jump out and just say, here's the day. Here's the one thing that's going to tip you over. And to that I say, not today. And thank you, God. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Danielle O. from New York. Next up, we have Dawn S., followed by Kathy S. And after Kathy, we still have time for more shares. If you just joined us, we're in the big book. There's the solution, page 20. The second paragraph, it is the purpose of this book. To the end of that paragraph, it starts to summarize some points as we see them. So Dawn S. from Delaware, please come in and share with us.
Good morning. This is Dawn S. From Delaware. And when I first started this program, I was told that I needed a higher power, and it sure couldn't be me. And I have a background in my family of religious abuse. So there's a whole heavy thing, like Bill had, with God. And I, at first, my dog was my higher power. Well, we had a ton of dogs, but anyway. And, you know, dog spelled backward is God. But then I moved into my realization and my freedom that the universe is my higher power, and nature is my cathedral. And I have been freed from my disordered behaviors and my gutter level addiction to food. The behaviors were unbelievable, with the going into the garbage and having to put you know, Drano on food so I wouldn't go into the garbage, eating things that were you know, cutting off the mold and maybe not even worrying about that. There is freedom, and there is a lightness in being released and releasing the weight, and the literal weight, you know, the psychic and the physical weight. And I'm grateful that this program allowed me to come to my understanding of a higher power, not what was forced upon me. And with that, I will pass. Thank you very much for everyone's service.
Thank you so much. That was Dawn S. from Delaware. Next up, we have Kathy S. from Georgia. And after Kathy, we have time for at least four or five more shares. So after Kathy, please unmute and let me know if you're ready to share. Kathy, come on in and share with us, please.
Thanks, Kathy. This is Kathy S. from Georgia. And I really relate to this paragraph. What strikes me is, you know, it's answering the question, what do we have to do? And it says it's the purpose of this book. And then they don't go into it, right? It's the word that stood out for me in this paragraph is before going into a detailed discussion, it may be well to summarize some points. And I'm like, what? You know, come on, good grief. Give me the answer. Give me the steps. Let's go. And the fact is that I have a disease that constantly tells me I don't really have a disease. And so I need a lot of convincing. I need a lot of convincing about my truth. In order to work the steps, in order to have a spiritual experience, I must come to my own conclusion that I'm a real compulsive overeater. Can I relate to the experience that other people share? And I love what was expressed. You know, this is not a you must do this, do that, because that's who I am. I say I'm willing and I'm ready. But then when it comes down to it, it's like, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to eat. Don't tell me what not to eat. You know, I say that I want that, but I really don't. I have to come to my own conclusions and my own truth. And then in that authenticity, I can actually move forward. I have to come to a place of acceptance for me. My truth is that I do have a physical allergy to certain ingredients because my experience was very well documented in the doctor's opinion. It would create the phenomenon of craving and this cycle of binging that once it became a habit, I could not break on my own power. And also on the following pages, you know, I have highlighted Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I had that experience too when I would ingest certain ingredients. It was like this click that went on with my brain, you know, and it was, I turned into just like a monster. I couldn't stop. And then, you know, what comes up to is what's fading right out of my head. But is how it happens. I don't even remember what I was going to say. So when I came back, you know, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm stuck. So my brain just stopped on me. But it's how I relate to this paragraph. It's what works for me. And again, when I came to my own conclusions, I was able to just do the work. Get down and just do it. Stop thinking about it and trust. Trust God's lead and the people in here. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Kathy S. from Georgia. And just to remind everyone, we are in the big book. There is a solution. We're on page 20. Second paragraph, it starts, it is the purpose of this book. We go through to summarize some points as we see them. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Monday or Tuesday of either meeting, we ask that you hold back. And I have time. We have time for at least four more shares.
Betty Please Jean press star from one. Connecticut.
Good morning, Betty
Down
Jean. Thank
page.
You.
Good morning. It's Vinny from New York. Vinny S. from New York.
Good morning, Vinny.
Janice L, H. Florida. In California.
Who's from California?
Janice H.
Thank you. And one more?
Cheryl L, Florida.
Thank you, Cheryl. Okay, let's go with this lineup and see how we go. So first up, we have Betty Jean, followed by Janice H. Come on in, Betty Jean.
Hi, thank you. This is Betty Jean, a compulsive overeater recovering in Connecticut.
Betty Jean, what's your first initial of your last name?
M, the letter M.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. When I first came into this program, my first meeting, I heard people share, and I thought, okay, this is a bunch of religious fanatics. And we were meeting in a church basement. It was a church I'd never been to before. I didn't even know what they believed. And I thought, this is some kind of religious cult here. If people are talking about God, and they're talking about their feelings. And I came here to lose weight, and I came here to get a diet. That is all. I don't want all this talk about feelings and God. And, you know, I just, this is like some weird religious group. And I stuck around because I couldn't figure out how to get out of the room. And I listened, and I realized all these people are thin. They've done it. I was very fortunate. There was a lot of recovery in that meeting. People had been in program for more than 10 years, most of the people in that meeting. And I thought, you know what, they've all lost weight. They're doing it. And they're happy. When I was losing weight, when I was on a diet, even when I was losing weight, I was miserable. And I made everyone around me miserable. I was so unhappy and so desperate, even when the diet was working. I said, you know what, these people are kind of kooky, but I'm just going to do what they're doing. I'm just going to follow them. I might as well. I got nothing else. absolutely nothing. And my doctor told me I had to come to this meeting, and he will not stop until I tell him that I showed up and I at least tried it. Everyone there was so welcoming and so accepting. It was the first time in my life that I felt accepted and that I felt a part of something. I love my family, but I felt like an outsider even in my family. And my family loves me. These people really understood me and accepted me and said, please come back. They wanted me there. So I came back and I kept coming back. And what I learned was that dieting was the problem and God was the solution. And I had had it wrong for all these years. I had to turn everything upside down, everything I knew, because I really knew nothing. And everything that I tried was a failure. I learned that God always had a better idea than any of mine. And when I was the one driving the car, I took us someplace bad. And when I let God lead, I go someplace good. And that's my prayer every morning. Lead me. Lead me today, please. Please make me follow. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Billie Jean M. from California.
Betty?
I think I...
Nope.
Betty. I'm sorry.
From
wow.
Connecticut.
Betty
from Connecticut.
Jean.
That's okay.
Oh, my goodness. What a
that's
day.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. Betty Jean, thank you for listening. Thank Betty Jean M. from Connecticut. I think I have Janice written twice. So I have Janice H. next, followed by Vinnie S. Janice, want to come in and tell us where you're calling from?
Good morning. This is Janice H., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from California this morning. Thank you for the meeting, moderator, and thank you everyone on the line for 12-stepping me today. I just finished going through all the 12 steps with a vision sponsor, and I'm just doing that one day at a time and taking direction from someone who's gone before me. I'm in like kind of a difficult situation with my husband where I'm a caretaker for him, you know, and I feel like I've been kind of stuck for the past, you know, 2 or 3 weeks because of resentment I've had with him that has to do with something that happened on my birthday. But, you know, all I can do with that is pray about it. Only by taking direction from another person in the rooms did I get that direction, because that's not how I would go about things, is by praying about it, you know, and by following the examples of others who have a relatable life experience. And, you know, when I was first, like, I was trying to come back to OA, and I was in this situation with caring for my husband, and I was just feeling like I can never relate to what's going on in these meetings. It doesn't pertain to me. They don't understand my situation. They don't understand why I'm eating. But when I have taken the time out to connect one-on-one with other fellows, I have gotten a lot of support and guidance and compassion, you know, and good direction from those who maybe don't have the same life experience as me, but who are, you know, kind of getting through their own stuff in an abstinent way without having to eat over it. And so I'm learning how to do that myself, which is freeing, you know, that I can be in some of these difficult emotions that I'm having, and I can, you know, surrender them to a power greater than myself, who I don't fully understand and not have to hold on to them and eat over them, which is what I was doing before, you know. And well, thank you for the meeting. And, you know, I do feel supported in a unique way. And I have other supports outside of OA, but that's all I was going to share. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Janice H. from California. Next up, we have Vinny, and then we have Cheryl. And I think I had Janice twice. So, Vinny S., come on in and share with us, please. Vinny, star one to unmute your phone, please.
I'm sorry. You hear me now?
Okay, Vinny, it's okay. Yes, we hear you well. Thank you, Vinny. Go ahead.
I'm Vinny from New York, and I'm so glad for this program. God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. I am a compulsive overeater, and basically I am an alcoholic also. Through the grace of God, it's a one-time-a-day program. And I am so glad they came back to this 5 months ago. This program is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. I love the meetings and basically the fellowship in this program. This Sunday, I'm celebrating 14 years of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I can only do this one day at a time. This program now and Overeaters for Me has showed me that I can get control of everything that I need to follow my higher power. And basically doing the step work and being around, hearing about it and reaching out to people in this program has helped me get control of my life. My life is out of control with food. It's always been since I'm a child. And it's been a battle my entire life. And I am so great now. I'm just dealing with trying to eliminate other medications that are not good for my thinking situation. And I want to eliminate all I can to get on a clearer path and take stuff that's more natural for me instead of reaching out to drugs that are not doing that for me. I've come to this point in my life now, and through the grace of God, I'm just praying on it and reaching out for the support. I mean, this program is amazing. The step work is amazing. I am so glad that I don't have to be obsessive with food only for today. And going to the conference in Jersey about 2 months ago, meeting Harlan G. and everyone, I've never gone to any of them in this program of AA until OA came along and he planted a seed, and I'm glad that I went with my daughter. So it opened my doors and my eyes to things that I did not see, but now I see more clearly. The program is great, and I got God to thank for that each and every day. So thank you for letting me share, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Vinny S. from New York. And Cheryl, you have 2.5 minutes. Can you come in and share with us, Cheryl?
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. My name is Cheryl L., and I live in the state of Florida. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. I really appreciate the readings and the shares this morning. When I'm reading this paragraph, it really reminds me of, oh my God, going all the way back to early recovery, you know, in the big book and my experience with it. And how I was always looking for the shortcut. And so, you know, when I read this paragraph and it says, before going into a detailed discussion, it may be well to summarize some points. I'm like, I am shaking my head. And it's like, come on, get to the point. This chapter is called There Is a Solution. Why aren't you giving me the solution? Like right here, the Cliff Notes version of it, right? And so, you know, what I had to discover, what I had to learn is that this is a process and it's not, you know, it's not a quick fix, and I can't do this halfway. I have to be all into it. And it took me a long, long time, you know, to get to that point of being all in. The other thing I wanted to share is that, you know, we shall tell you what we have done. when I'm working with sponsees, I am very, very clear that I am not the poster child for Overeaters Anonymous. You know, I have a story of relapse, and so I share openly and freely about that because I had to go through that relapse in order to really be, you know, brought to my knees, if you would, and to be fully willing to submit to the disciplines of this program. And for me, submitting to those disciplines really came in the form of steps 10, 11, and 12. You know, I was all well and good getting through, you know, the steps that had to do with me and had to do with the inventory and making amends and all of that, but fell short with 10, 11, and 12. It resulted in my sponsor dropping me because I wasn't sponsoring others. It resulted in me at one point going back out because I couldn't stay abstinent. I was still relying on others, and I was relying on myself and my knowledge, my intellect, you know, all those things that we read about in this book. And so it's so important, you know, for me to be all in. And, you know, the beautiful thing about this is that, you know, if I do what is indicated in here, I get to those promises, and the 9-step promises are beautiful, but the 10-step promises really mean a lot to me as well. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share today.
Thank you so much. That was Cheryl L. from Florida. Thank you for taking us out this morning, Cheryl, and thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, February 18th, 2026, is 23,219. That is 23219. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lynn F. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Come on in, Lynn, please.
Thank you. Thank you, moderator. Thank you, my fellows. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.